From Ticker Tape, this is Where's My Money? FOMO, or the fear of missing out, is a troubling feeling that impacts us all. It's the stomach-wrenching feeling on a Friday night where you're super tired from the week's hard work, but all of your friends are going out. It's the urge to watch your favorite sporting event, even though it's playing at a crazy hour of the night. We all just don't want to miss or waste potential opportunities that are in front of us. And this exact same feeling of FOMO often impacts our decision-making in investing as well. But in investing, falling to these feelings of FOMO could truly have a negative impact on your portfolio. So how do you avoid it? And how do you stay cool when your friends are telling you about the next hot trend to invest in? All of that and more to come in today's episode. And to do this, we spoke to Simran, who's the founder of the Girls That Invest podcast, which is one of the top investment-based podcasts in the world. And we started the conversation by speaking about what FOMO investing even is.
So FOMO investing is not a new concept, but definitely a new term to sort of encompass what people are starting to do on maybe a much wider scale. And it's the idea that, you know, when you get FOMO, fear of missing out, when, you know, all your friends go to a party or they go out and you go, man, I wish I had done that as well. You can use that same concept and apply it to investing, where if you see your friends and family or people online all buying a certain company's share or investing in a certain sector and you go, oh, I wouldn't want to miss out on that as well, let me jump in and buy the exact same. That's what FOMO investing is. And it's the idea that you see everyone else doing it, you get this sort of heightened experience around maybe not taking, you know, your full judgment into account, and you kind of just go for it. And it's actually becoming quite a problem. There was a study that was done that saw that 33% of young investors had admitted that they have been investing this way.
That number is insane, 33% of people. And I know I've had that feeling, whoa, I need to invest or I'll miss out. Could you just, for our listeners, describe that feeling a little bit further and maybe share a few examples of how this could happen?
So with FOMO investing, imagine that you're sitting there and you have a friend that says, oh my God, you'll never believe it. I just found this cryptocurrency or this stock that I think is going to be big. And look, it's starting to gain momentum. And when you usually see these instances, it's not when the stock has been passively moving along, it's when they've suddenly had a big jump. And when we see things like this, you're not really thinking with your long-term brain, you're thinking with your short-term brain, which is, let me quickly jump onto this because it just doesn't feel like it's going to drop. And that's the biggest culprit when it comes to investing, when you feel like there's no way that this could go down, it's a safe investment and I'm going to make a quick buck. It's very exciting, I'd say, and I've definitely had moments where I've almost fell into it as well. It's so easy now to say, you know, don't do it, that's wrong. But it's really hard in the moment to, one, recognize that you're investing out of FOMO as opposed to, you know, your own judgment. But it's also really hard to pull yourself back and say, maybe my friends and family aren't right about this.
What are the overall cons of making big investment decisions based off of this information that you're getting, that you're not thinking long-term about? What are the potential downfalls of adopting FOMO investing?
There's a term in investing that we use that describes it, which is called speculative investing. So you've got normal investing where you're taking your time to research a company. Let's say you're looking into Apple, you know, you're looking into their assets and their debt, their income sheet, the balance sheet, you're looking at the top line, the bottom line, you're looking at the ratios. You're probably spending a good couple of hours even looking into this brand and then deciding, is this right for me? There's probably a pros and cons list involved. With speculative investing or FOMO investing, there's not a lot of that. There's a lot of gut feeling involved. There's a lot of perhaps doubt, but you're in a rush. You're more than happy to kind of subside any issues you may feel are arising. And so the main difference is just, you know, the thought process that goes behind from wanting to buy the stock to actually going ahead and investing in it.
So in an ideal world, what is the framework and methodology that folks should take while they are thinking about investing in a stock, right? So let's say they do get a hot tip from a friend, hey, invest in X company. What then should they be going back and doing to make sure they're making a proper informed judgment as opposed to a FOMO judgment?
the favorite thing I always do is, do I understand how this company or how this cryptocurrency or NFT project is making money? If I cannot understand the business model, it's not always a reflection that I'm just not good at understanding things. If it's really hard to understand how a brand's making money, that's usually the first sort of red flag to go, well, maybe that's not the best investment. And I always like to relate it back to the dot-com bubble, which was a time when, you know, tech stocks were going crazy. Anything that had a dot-com at the end of it, even if it wasn't making any money, people thought, this is going to be the next best thing. Let me invest in pets.com without really realizing what pets.com did or how they made money. And very quickly, those brands did crash because at the end of the day, there was no revenue being produced. So that's always step one. I would say step two, try and explain this to someone that's not in that space, because it's very easy to chat with your friends that are already into crypto or already into investing about this crazy new thing. They're probably going to be more likely to nod their head and kind of go, yeah, yeah, that's a great idea. But if you try explain it to your dad or your younger sister and they go, that kind of sounds a bit weird, like I don't understand how that works, sometimes they come with more rational thoughts than you, or they come with questions that maybe you hadn't thought of, like, is this actually legitimate? Is this a scam? Are you double sure? And then the third is actually getting into the numbers and actually looking at doing kind of what we call your due diligence. And that involves a lot of things, but primarily looking at the background of where this has come from, looking at who's creating it, what's their purpose. And if a company has good management, or if a project is managed well with people that you can somewhat trust, you're probably going to be okay. But if you're not making those extra efforts to research into it, that's when that FOMO investing style becomes a little bit more dangerous.
And I want to ask you, is there any potential pro to be able to use FOMO investing or speculation to possibly enhance short-term gains in your portfolio?
I guess the idea of FOMO investing is that it's the style that you are investing in, right? You know, you can invest in short-term stocks. There's nothing wrong with that. And you can make, you know, gains in that aspect. But if you're investing with the idea of doing it out of FOMO, that's inherently telling me that there's not a lot of research being done and it's probably more emotional based. And if the data shows us anything, it's that we're not always the best stock pickers with a level head, let alone when we're maybe a little bit enticed with our feelings and kind of hopes that something would do well. Not to say that people can't make money in that regard. And I like that you brought up that point. It's very valid. Sometimes people do really well, but it's about, are you okay with taking on such a big risk for something like that?
What are things that people should be keeping in mind throughout their everyday basis, throughout their conversations, throughout reading Facebook or the news, whatever they're going through? What should they be keeping in mind to make sure they're not falling prey to these emotional biases?
So step one is understanding, what does a good researcher do? And a good researcher will read something and not believe it straight away, but they'll look at that source. Am I reading that from a trusted website? What I really recommend is, don't let one news source be the final place where you get your facts, because, you know, you're just asking for trouble at that point.
I just want to wrap up with the question of learning more about your approach to investing. Could you just talk about your approach and your general principles towards investing?
Because I came from a healthcare background, so I was an optometrist. And so the way that my mind works is, in healthcare, whether you be an optometrist, a nurse, a doctor, we never make any actions based off our own opinions. It's all research-based. And so we call it, you know, research-led clinical work. So I kind of apply the exact same thing with investing. If there's research to support that this is the way to go, then I will take it on. But if I'm just kind of going off my own experiences, then it's very hard for me to try that out. So what I have, you know, really seen, and what the research heavily suggests, is that with passive investing, for the everyday person who perhaps doesn't have as much time on their hands to actively invest, that is the way to go. And for my own personal portfolio, 90% of it is just in an index fund or two. And while I'll have individual shares, they are very, I guess, not very out there and extravagant. Me and Sonia, my co-host, we kind of say we're like Nana investors. We're pretty boring when it comes to that regard. If you want to learn a little bit more about what I do, we've actually got a book coming out at girlsthatinvest.com. It's currently Amazon's number one trending book today, which is absolutely crazy. And it'll be out in August 2022.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Where's My Money by Tickertape. On this show, we simplify the finance landscape in India for you. So if you're looking to venture into stock investing, sort out your personal finance, or make sense of how economic developments can impact your money, this podcast will be a perfect addition to your morning commute or household chores. Also, if you enjoyed the episode and want more of this, make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform to never miss an episode. And last but not least, consider downloading the Tickertape app. It is an investment analysis platform for stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, and much more. The link and further description will be in the show notes below. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we will see you in the next one.